From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. President Donald Trump is in Brussels taking part in a two-day NATO summit. Before arriving, he tweeted that many countries in NATO are not only short of their current commitment of 2% of gross domestic product, but have delinquent for many years in payments that have not been made. Before departing Washington, he expressed confidence the matter can be resolved.
But we will work it out, and all countries will be happy.
Security analyst Joe Burton, senior lecturer at the University of Waikato in New Zealand, was asked if he anticipates a contentious meeting.
Yes, the summit will be divisive. It will be controversial. But again, the point remains that NATO members are spending more on defense, are planning to spend more on defense. And it's worth remembering at this juncture that U.S. defense spending is around 3.5, 3.6% of GDP. So it's way above most NATO members. But we need to remember that the U.S. is a global superpower. It has commitments in the Asia Pacific, across the Middle East, which the large majority of NATO member states don't have. So it's natural for there to be quite a substantial difference in the amount the U.S. spends on defense vis-a-vis its European allies.
The president also expected to affirm U.S. support for the NATO Charter's Article 5 provision, whereby an attack on one member is an attack on all. The U.N. Security Council Tuesday in a statement welcomed improving ties between Ethiopia and Eritrea, but stopped short of promising to review sanctions on Asmara Monday. Both Horn of Africa neighbors proclaimed their long-running border war over. In South Africa, one person killed, 20 injured when a vintage plane crashed Tuesday shortly after takeoff on a flight from a small airport in Pretoria. The 1950s-era Convair 340 came down just 5 kilometers from the airport. This is VOA News. The Trump administration has raised the stakes in the tariff war with China, announcing late Tuesday an additional $200 billion of Chinese imports covering thousands of products that could be subject to 10% tariffs by the end of August. Christy McDaniel, senior research fellow at George Mason University, said while warranted, a tough U.S. response should go beyond just tariffs and investment restrictions.
A strategy to address these legitimate concerns is warranted. The question is, what is the best strategy? A tariff is a tax. And in today's global economy, American manufacturers are just simply tied to suppliers from outside the U.S. for their competitiveness. So when we tax those imports, we're taxing American manufacturers, not to mention consumers.
The U.S. has already proposed or imposed tariffs on $50 billion in Chinese products. Beijing vowed to retaliate, with a Chinese official warning Wednesday this could destroy Sino-U.S. trade. The last four boys and their coach were safely brought out of the flooded Tham Luang cave complex in Thailand, where they've been trapped for more than 2 weeks. In all, 12 boys were brought to the surface, four at a time, with members of an international cave diving team guiding them through dark, narrow, slippery passageways, often submerged. Jill Valanthin is the mother of one of the British divers involved.
That was my first feeling of relief that they'd found them. Again, not realising how much effort and teamwork, which is so important, it took to get them out. And thank God they're all out safely.
The rescue mission hampered by rains was monitored worldwide. Syria's President Assad is poised to quash the rebellion in the city where it began in 2011. Rebels reportedly seeking Russian guarantees to pull out of the southwest city Daraa, which is encircled by pro-government forces. Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu, under investigation for alleged corrupt activities, was questioned by police again Tuesday. He denies awarding regulatory favors to Israel's largest telecom in return for favorable news coverage. The widow of the late Chinese Nobel laureate, political dissident Liu Xiaobo, arrived Tuesday in Germany after spending 8 years under virtual house arrest. Rights group Amnesty International's Sarah Fremberg was on hand to greet her.
So Amnesty has been working on her case for such a long time now that we're just relieved and happy that she's finally free.
Meanwhile, China has sentenced democracy activist Chen Yongmin to 13 years in prison for subversion. Charlie Rowley has regained consciousness after being exposed to the Russian-made nerve agent Novichok, but the British man's partner, Don Sturgis, died of the effects on Sunday, police treating the case as an act of murder. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.